All right, good morning. Welcome to Faith Bible Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Well, from the response that I got, I'm just guessing that everybody's doing okay. Well, I know I was just kidding with that. Of course, I couldn't get any response from you, but I trust that everybody's doing all right. And looking forward to a good day in God's house today. Good passage of scripture that we're going to look at, good songs that we're going to look at the words. And I trust everything's going to be a blessing to you. Glad that you're here joining us with Faith Bible Church and our pre-recorded services for the day. Truly a day that we want to glorify God in everything that we do. God deserves so much glory, folks. I think it's really easy right now to look at all the negative things that are going on, and it's very easy to be discouraged. And I'm sure everybody in their life has discouraging things right now, but God wants us to be encouraged in His things. God wants us to rejoice and be glad in the day that He's given to us. God wants us to be thankful for so many things. So folks, I just want to encourage you, let's be thankful today for all the things that God has done for us, and let's rejoice in His goodness this very day. And count our blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Let's take our hymnals this morning and turn to hymn number 25. Hymn number 25, we're going to start off by reading this good hymn. There are three verses, and so I'm going to read these words to you and trust that you can follow along if you are able. Praise the Lord who reigns above. Praise the Lord who reigns above and keeps His court below. Praise the holy God of love and all His greatness show. Praise Him for His noble deeds. Praise Him for His matchless power. Him from whom all good proceeds, let earth and heaven adore. Jesus reigns, let earth be glad. Let distant shores rejoice. Heaven proclaim His righteousness. Earth sing with every voice. Praise Him every tuneful string. All the songs of heavenly art, all the powers of music bring, the music of the heart. Him in whom they move and live, let every creature sing. Glory to their Maker give, and homage to their King. Praise His everlasting name, as in heaven, on earth adored. Praise the Lord in every breath, let all things praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to get together this morning. Well, we're not together, but at least we are in heart and hopefully in sound. And God, I pray that in spirit, though we'd be together as we worship You and bring honor and glory to Your name. God, I just want to take a moment to thank You for all the wonderful things that You have done for us. Lord, may we count our blessings and see how many good things You've done for us. Lord, help us not to be discouraged. Help us to keep our hearts in tune with You and be rejoicing and be thankful and to be glad in the day that You've given to us. God, I thank You for so much. Be with us this morning as we worship You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and just go right across to the other side of the page. Hymn number 26 is a very similar song. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, shelters thee under His wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted in what He ordaineth? Praise to the Lord, who with marvelous wisdom hath made thee, decked thee with health, and with loving hand guided and stayed thee. How oft in grief hath He not brought thee relief, spreading His wings for to shade thee? Praise to the Lord. O let all that is in me adore Him, all that hath life and breath, come now with praises before Him. Let the Amen sound from His people again, gladly, for we adore Him. 392 is our last. 392. Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the king? Who will be his helpers, others, other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? By thy call of mercy, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine. Not for weight of glory, not for crown and palm, enter we the army, raise the warrior psalm. But for love that claimeth lives for whom he died, he whom Jesus nameth must be on his side. By thy love constraining, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine. Let's sing the fourth, or read the fourth. Fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the king's own army none can overthrow. Round his standard ranging, victory is secure, for his truth unchanging makes his triumph sure. Joyfully enlisting, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine. Good songs, and I trust that we'll take those to heart on this Lord's Day. Okay, let's go ahead and take our Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter and chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 is where we're at in our studies going through 1 Peter, and we've learned a lot of things going through 1 Peter. Remember, we have a group of people that were going through a lot. They had been wrongly charged with burning down the city of Rome, and they were being persecuted by Nero, the emperor, and also the other people there, as he had lied and said that they were responsible. And so all the people turned on the Christians, and they had done lots of persecution. As a result, many of those Christians fled to a strange place, to a new country, to a new land, people, new jobs, new religion, new all kinds of everything, and they were considered strangers and pilgrims, and they were finding it difficult to live there. And Peter writes to address their situation and how to deal with all this difference, these differences in life. And so we have gone through three chapters and starting into the fourth on how Peter, God has given to these group of strangers how to live while we're on this earth and how they can be victorious as strangers on this earth. And so we've got ourselves to chapter 4. And most recently, in the last few verses, we have been looking at God speaking against keeping his brothers and sisters together, certainly as a body. And we're supposed to have that love, that charity one for another. In fact, in verse 8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And then in verse 9, the directive to use hospitality one to another without grudging. And so right now, God is speaking to the element of you need to come together as a group of Christians and be close, love each other, and be thankful for each other, and be hospitable one to another. And what he is going to do now in the next couple verses, we're going to be looking at verses 10 and 11 this morning. What he's going to do is he's going to give us a how to do that among the brethren. You've probably had different things in your life that were given to you as something to do, and you were overwhelmed with those, with that task. That thought of doing this was so huge to you. You thought, how in the world? It's overwhelming. I could never do this. And your mind started to wander into how you were going to maybe go home and fulfill this task. Or maybe you were going to do this at the job site. Or maybe that trainer was going to be done training you, and you were going to have to do this alone. And you began to be overwhelmed, and it was maybe even discouraging. Not too long ago, probably about 6 weeks ago or so, Our 14-year-old daughter, Shalissa, was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And that was certainly something that was it was difficult for us. And as we had to think through what life would be like, you know, they threw at us some things. They told us some things that honestly was going to change our lives, and we didn't know how it was going to take place. It was very overwhelming when we heard the news. And we're in there in the hospital, and there are certain things that were, you know, we were going to be going home, and I was overwhelmed. Of course, I wasn't the one in the hospital having to do the different things. I wasn't having to give the shots. I wasn't having to take the blood glucose. I wasn't having to care for Shalissa's needs. But I knew when I went home, it was going to be me and Melissa. We were going to be taking care of our daughter. And it was a little overwhelming. And in fact, there were so many questions, we didn't know how it was going to happen. Well, one of the things that we were greatly thankful for is after we were dismissed from the hospital, we were sent over to another unit outside of the hospital that was that worked with pediatric endocrinology and diabetes. And they sent us over there that Monday morning for a crash course in how to take care of this type 1 diabetes with our daughter. And throughout the morning, there was a kind lady that walked us through how to monitor, how to watch for this, gave us the ins and outs of an education of diabetes, walked us through how to give insulin and the shots and how to read the monitor and take readings of the blood glucose. And I would say that it was still overwhelming when we left. However, it was such a great help that we were given instructions. We were given some things that we could take home and we could begin to practice. We met with a dietitian that helped us with food and helped us with the carbs, helped us with all kinds of things. And so even though we were still a little overwhelmed, it was a great joy and a blessing that we could go home and we had the tools that we needed to at least get started. What a blessing it was to be given the tools. Well, here in this passage, in the previous verses, we're told to love each other. And what Peter does in verses 10 and 11 is not just say, I want you to do this hard task, which, by the way, loving brothers and sisters is not an easy thing. But what he's done is now he's given us the tools so that we know how to do it as we live our lives throughout the week. So, as you have your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, let me read at this help that Peter gives to us on how we can be close and love our brothers and sisters. He says in verses 10 and 11, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right. And let me go through these. These verses are not that difficult, but let me just explain really quickly what they mean. In the context, okay, God is telling us to love our brothers and sisters, and what he's saying is, okay, I have given you all gifts. By the way, it's to every Christian. He says, as every man, and it's not just talking about males, it's male and female. Every human being that is a Christian is saved, has received the grace of God, not only for salvation, but of gifts. And these gifts are ways in which we can love our brothers and sisters. You know that this passage right here is God telling us, here is the gifts that I have given you so that you can meet each other's needs through love. That's what God's gifts are. And so God has given every person, it doesn't matter talent, it doesn't matter gender, it doesn't matter the amount of money you have, it doesn't matter how popular you are, every Christian, God has given you a spiritual gift or gifts in which you are to love your brothers and sisters and help them out. So as every man hath received this gift, which by the way was given to us at salvation, then the directive, even so minister. Minister the same one to another. So God calls us as we've received the gift. Now we're supposed to minister it. We're supposed to put it into practice with our brothers and sisters. And he says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The manifold, that's the all kind, different, various kinds, the different kinds of gifts, of God's gifts. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So God has given every Christian a spiritual gift so that they can love and minister to their brothers and sisters as those gifts of speaking or gifts of ministry are in your lives. We're supposed to do it with the ability and the words that God has given and in his power for the purpose of God being honored and glorified through his body and through his people. That's really what the passage is saying in a nutshell. Now, that's the discovery. I want to give you some closer details of what's being said. So, in order to live out the charity or love among the brethren, God has given giftings to us all so that we can serve one another. We must use these gifts to serve one another in love and bring God his glory. All right, let's look at a few points this morning just for a few moments. Biblical stewardship is the first. Did you notice in verse 10, he says, as good stewards. What does that word steward mean? Here we have biblical stewardship. Stewardship is just the management of somebody else's things. Biblical stewardship could be defined as the faithful and wise management of resources and responsibilities for the ultimate glory of God, realizing that he will eventually demand accountability. Now, I understand that that was a mouthful. Let me read it again. Biblical stewardship is the faithful and wise management of God's resources and responsibilities for the ultimate glory of God, realizing that he will eventually demand accountability. As you're listening this morning, I would encourage you even to stop and pause the video and take time to write that down so you can think through that. And then, of course, as you're done writing that down, then you can press play again and we'll continue on. All right, so biblical stewardship. Being a faithful steward, that means a manager of God's resources, his responsibilities. We're to be faithful with it. We're to be wise with it. These gifts, in the end, he's going to demand accountability. We're going to be responsible for those things. Being a faithful steward involves understanding three major principles. God's ownership, they're his possessions. Second of all, our responsibility. And thirdly, our accountability. Let's look at another verse that I think is going to help us with this passage this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I think here we see the three main points that I just mentioned. Ownership, responsibility, and accountability. What is a steward? One who manages someone else's things. So first, we're talking about ownership. Ownership. As every man hath received the gift. Well, received from who? Well, of course, God. God at salvation gave every Christian a gift. And so God is the owner of these gifts. All of what we have is really not ours. You know, some of you look at and you maybe God has used you to be a giver. You've been able to give people things, resources, money, time. You've given that. Maybe your gift is giving. You know, there's a tendency for us to want to pat ourselves on the back and well, I'm this. Or maybe you're a merciful person. Or maybe you are a person that God has gifted in ruling or leadership. Maybe God has gifted you in exhortation, and you can come along somebody and help them, encourage them to move forward in their Christian walk. You know, God doesn't want us to pat ourselves on the back and be proud. No, these are God's things, and He's entrusted us to manage them. So we see, first of all, it's God's ownership. He is the one that owns. What, know ye not that your body, and I could also include your gifts, they're the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Now, understand, this is talking about our bodies. But just understand that we as people are not our own. For ye have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Folks, our body, our possessions, our things, our gifts, our talents, they're all God's. And we are managers of those things. All of what you have is God's. Everything. It's God's car. It's God's house. It's God's money. It's God's gift that He's given to you. What has God gifted to you in your life? Back to stewardship. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Okay, so God has gifted you with this thing, and He's looking to you on this earth to use it wisely and to use it very productively. He wants you to be a good manager of it. He wants us to be faithful. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, he says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So I need to be faithful with what God has given to me. I'm to be faithful. What is faithful? Faithfulness is constantly managing things the way the owner would desire. The way the owner would desire it. So we're talking about responsibility. We're supposed to be faithful. We're supposed to do it the way He would do it. And we've been given responsibility. And it's mentioned in verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 4. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister. So as we've received, we've got to do something with it. That's our responsibility, and we need to be faithful with it. What are we doing with God's gift or God's possessions? Now, Peter gets specific in verse 11 at what these gifts or possessions are. He says, if any man speak. Okay, there's the first, if I could say, main type of gift. They're speaking gifts. There's gifts in which we use our mouth in speaking and help people through our words. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Now, that's very simple. That's the words of God. Make sure that as you exhort and challenge, preach, teach, make sure that you're using God's words. That's going to be the key to your ability and your speaking, or that gift of speaking. He says, as you have the gift of speaking, make sure that you give God's words. By the way, as you're counseling people or helping people, the best advice that I can give you and directive that I can give you is use God's word. Don't just give your own human wisdom. Give God's word out. Use the oracles of God. If any man minister, this is a little bit more practical and specific on not just the speaking gift, but maybe the doing gifts, those things that are action. It's the maybe even just ministry-minded. It's doing things for people. Let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, not your own strength. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Here we see the giftings that God has given. The gift, this is a divine gift or grace that enables us to serve the church of Christ in love. So God gives us things, and we're the manager of that gift, and we need to be very faithful with that. We need to be responsible. I mentioned the speaking gifts. Again, the speaking ministries, pastors, teachers, evangelists, but maybe exhorters, and other speaking gifts. We need to be careful that we speak God's words, as I already mentioned, and God wants us to be good stewards of that. Don't be one that just spouts off all kinds of things that come to the top of your mind. No, we need to be masters and students of God's word and give out that word. Question for you, if you have a speaking gift, is are you being faithful? Maybe you're just a discipler. Are you being faithful with what God has given to you to pass it along to other people? By the way, you don't have to have a specific gifting to do this. I think every Christian, Every Christian has a responsibility to take God's word and share it with other people and give God's word out. Are you being a good steward with it? It's God's word, and we've got to be good stewards. We've got to be faithful. We've got to be responsible. The second type is the service gifts. This is serving one another, acting, serving. Are you ministering to one another? Are you doing things? Are you helping? Are you giving? Are you being merciful? Are you exhorting? Are you actively doing what God has called you to do? Folks, we're responsible. We're going to be held accountable, which we'll get to in just a moment. And understand under ownership that these are God's given things. We have a responsibility. God has given them to us to do certain things. They're God-given, not ours. I think that they're given to us, and it's said this way so that we can make sure that we're humble and not proud. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" The point of that verse is, and it can kind of be a tongue twister, is everything that you have is a gift from God. And so therefore, if it's a gift of God, we didn't do anything to get it, so why should we boast about it? The point is, we shouldn't. It's God's. And He is the one that's given to it. So, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, as God has gifted you, let's not be proud of that gift. We need to make sure that we're very humble with it. It's God-given, not us brought about. Second of all, we need to understand others in our responsibility. I think that gifts help us to understand other people. You see, there are certain people in the church, maybe their gift is service, and they're really given to do things behind the scenes. Maybe they clean the church. Maybe they're going to take care of this, and nobody else sees that. You know, there's a tendency for that kind of a person that has the gift of ministry and service, there's a tendency for that person to look around and see other people that aren't doing those things, and they wonder, like, well, I wonder why they don't show up for work day, and I wonder why they don't ever show up to clean. I wonder why we never see them here doing some of these jobs. And then you have the other person that maybe they have some sort of a speaking gift. Maybe they're an exhorter. Maybe they are called upon by God to come alongside a brother or sister and encourage them and challenge them from God's word and disciple them and encourage them in the things of God. And yet they look around and look at maybe a service brother that is doing a lot of things behind the scenes, and they think, you know what, I just don't understand. That person has been a Christian for so long, and I don't see them coming along somebody else and helping them. Now let me stop, and I want you to take note that all the gifts that are given to us, I believe that we have at least one thing that God has specialized us for, but understand that just because maybe I don't necessarily have a certain gift doesn't mean that I don't have any responsibility to practice it. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself gifted of God in spiritual gifts as a person of mercy. Yet does that give me an excuse not to be merciful at all? No. We all have to be merciful. We all have to be giving. We all have to be exhorters. We all have to be those things that God calls. It's just we have a specialized gift. And so we have this individual that maybe has this gift of exhortation. We have this individual over here that has this gift of service, and they do a lot of work behind the scenes. Well, the service person easily looks around and sees the other people that aren't doing the service, and they look down at them. You know, the same thing is true for this exhorter over here, though. I don't understand why that person over there, you know, they clean windows, but they won't do this. You see, this helps us to understand these gifts, helps us to understand other people, and it helps us not to be critical and understand God has not gifted everybody as mercy. He's not gifted everybody as exhorter. He's not gifted everybody as service. In fact, He's made the body very diverse, kind of like your body. He didn't make all biceps. He didn't make all triceps. He didn't make all heads or eyes or toes. He made the whole body, and praise the Lord that our whole body wasn't a nose. Praise the Lord that he didn't make all the body just fingers. He made us diverse and yet together. It's the body. Folks, this helps us not to be so critical to brothers and sisters. God has gifted them and wired them for a different way to show brothers and sisters love. And we need to be understanding with that. Back to stewardship. So God is the owner of it. With that, we're called to be faithful. We're called to be responsible. And we come back to 1 Corinthians 4:2, which says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Notice there's a requirement. What is required? Well, the steward must give an accounting before the Lord. You know, there's one day in which we are going to be held accountable before the Lord for how we used these gifts. The steward must give an accounting before the Lord. The accountability. You know, when we're not utilizing what God has given to us, first of all, brothers and sisters, I think it's a sin. We're not being obedient to the Lord. God's gifted us to do things. And if we're not loving our brothers and sisters in our own specialized way, then we're sinning. And when we sin, we lose fellowship with God. And I think the first immediate thing is when we're not active serving with our gifts, we're not obedient. And therefore, we're not close to the Lord. And I want you, brothers and sisters at Faith Bible Church, to think about this. Or if you're out there and part of another church, think about this. Are you utilizing God's gift in your local church? And I'll say this, if you're not, you're not right with the Lord. God has called every body part to serve together in your own specialized way, but he's called us to serve. There's responsibility. What's that going to affect? Well, we're held accountable with our fellowship with the Lord, and we're not going to be walking with the Lord the way we ought to, but there's going to be a loss of reward someday at the judgment seat of Christ as we come before him. Those things that God has given to us, the things of stewardship, we're going to be held accountable for. Did you utilize what I gave? What was your motive? Did you do it for yourself? Did you do it for the love of others? Did you do it for the sake of Christ? Brothers and sisters, we're going to be accountable. We're going to be held accountable for what God has given to us. The master will return. He has given to us his possessions, his mercy, his giving, his resources, his time, his gift of speaking. He's given all of these things to us to utilize in a very faithful and responsible way. And one day we're going to be held accountable for it. Folks, there's a lot at stake. As I wrap this up with some obedience, what is there for us to obey? I think we see here that we need to be active. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister. He says, do it. Minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Listen, as God has given his great gift, we need to utilize his gift to us in the same way. So minister. Folks at Faith Bible Church, let's get busy and let's minister. Ministry is service one to another. I remember Paul telling Timothy, "Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust." He urged him, "I want you to do what you have been encouraged to do and gifted to do." In Colossians 3:23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." We use God's gifts of service for the Lord's sake. How are you keeping, maintaining, improving, using God's resources, specifically his gifts that we've learned about this morning? How are you using those? Folks, these are God's, and we're stewards managing God's possessions. How are you doing? Understand that we do it for his glory. What's the reward? He says at the end, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Why do we do this? Is it to please man? No, honestly not, folks. In fact, if we clean out the windows and speak the truth and exhort the brother and sister, if we do that for the praise of man, we're going to be disappointed and we'll stop. Why do we do it? We do it to bring God honor and glory. So if you're a gift, if you've got the gift of mercy and you do it and that person doesn't even acknowledge that you were so merciful, be encouraged because you did it for the Lord. At least you were supposed to. If you showed up at the church that day and you washed those windows and not a person, not even the pastor, told you thank you, you don't have to worry about it because you're supposed to do it for the Lord. That God would be honored and glorified through it. And as a result, individuals will be shown the love of Christ. It's for God's glory, it's for the love of other people. Being a responsible steward. Folks, God has given to us blessings and gifts. He wants us to be faithful with them. He wants us to be responsible. He wants us to do them. One day we're going to be held accountable for what we're doing. We do it for the purpose of honoring and glorifying God. How are you loving your brothers and sisters today? Oh, let's be good stewards of what God has given to us. That we can love each other. Above all, have fervent charity one for another. How do we do that? Peter gives us the example right here. God's given you the gifts. Now, let's get busy. Let's do them. As we close, I just say this. Maybe you don't know what your spiritual gift is, and I want to be very careful to make too big of a deal of exactly what it is. There's all kinds of spiritual tests out there and things that people do, and I'm not going to have you take those. Honestly, if you don't know what God has gifted you, and I think you just pray about it, a question I could ask you is, what excites you? What is the way in which you get excited to love other people in the church? Some people are excited to give. Some people are excited to help. Some people are excited to exhort people. Some people are excited to be merciful. Some people are exhorted to all kinds of different ways in which people do that. What excites you? How do you get excited? I'd say probably that's probably the way God gifted you. But whether or not you know what that gift is, I want to encourage you, no matter what it is, be merciful, love, give, help, get busy and do things for your brothers and sisters, for God's glory. You're going to be a good steward, the way God is calling you to be, today. So I hope that we can practice that this week. We're going to go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then I'll dismiss you. We look forward to a good afternoon. I trust that you can rest, and we'll be back again this evening looking at a few more important things within Step with Jesus, then also taking a little bit of time to remember some things around the Lord's table as we normally worship that way at the first of the month. So we will not have the juice or the broken bread, but we will still take time to remember. So that will be this evening. Come back and join us again at 6 o'clock. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for the lessons that you gave to us today through 1 Peter. Lord, I pray that I haven't made it confusing, but that I've tried to make it clear of what you've called us to do, taking your gifts, your possessions, and doing great and mighty things with them so that your name could be honored and glorified, and that brothers and sisters would be edified, and that we can show love to each other. God, help us. We need you. We're trusting you. Give us a wonderful day for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Have a good afternoon. We'll see you in just a little while.